We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. All right, Greg, before we get started, you and I were chatting off air like we always do. I think you had a message for New York Giant fans, didn't you?
Oh, Jim, we are fired up about all things Penn State, and look, when we'll make it short and sweet on the Giants-Eagles situation, but you know what? When you're 6-10 and you were up 21-10 against the Eagles a few months ago and found a way to lose, and Evan Engram, I saw a tweet from a guy from Football Outsiders who had noted that if Evan Engram had caught that touchdown pass in that 21-10 game that the Eagles ultimately came back and won, the Eagles would be the number three pick, and the Giants would be NFC East champions. So, you know, they had their opportunity, and that's all I have to say about that. At 6-10.
All right. Let's turn from all the negative vibes to positive vibes. Let's start with our winner from the Ask Greg segment, and that is Tony from Midland, Michigan. Tony got us started on the quarterback from the transfer portal conversation. We ended up talking half the segment about that. Anytime you're able to do that, instigate that with your question, you deserve to win. So, Tony, I'll be reaching out to you soon. You'll get your KSN shirt. All right.
Speaking pretty good, Jim. I think that's the first time in weeks that we actually announced the winner of the segment in the first part of the next segment. So, good for us.
How about that, Greg? You know what? It's a new year. That's my resolution, to name the winner at the beginning of the segment. And so far, we are one for one, and I'm tasking you with keeping track of that, holding my feet to the fire, all right? That's on you.
All right. I will make that my resolution as well.
All right. Let's move on. Again, I'm just going right along with this positive vibe stuff, Greg. And a week ago, we were all negative. I asked you the question of what went wrong during the 2020 season with Penn State, and there was plenty to talk about. This week, let's do the glass half full kind of thing. Let's talk about what went right for this team in 2020. And there were several items. I was able to pick out several of them. First place I started was at wide receiver. I don't think any position group had lower expectations coming into the season, and showed us a lot of pleasant surprises.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So when you look at this receiver group, and again, we had talked before about the fact that Taylor Stubblefield was brought in to not just give some consistency to this position group, but also impart some of the wisdom he had learned as the as a very successful All-American player when he was in high school. So I look at that group, and I do think that we expected to see some things that we didn't necessarily see. You know, Cam Sullivan Brown was hurt for much of the year. Daniel George, he was a four-star recruit that was highly regarded coming out of high school and just really hasn't shown a ton since he got to, you know, Penn State. So, I think that, was a bit of a disappointment. But, yeah, I mean, you look at Jahan Dotson and you look at Parker Washington, and, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith showed some good things this year and showed that he can be a guy of the future. And, you know, obviously I think that was something we were all hoping to see. So, you know, when you kind of count it all up, the one, if we're going to be negative for just a second, you know, the one thing I will say is that I thought, there was a lot of Isaac Lutz this year, which is fine. He's earned those reps, but you would have assumed that somebody else would step up and kind of take the bull by the horns of the group that they have recruited, but that wasn't the case. So they need one of these guys who are coming in to really step up now and kind of carry the torch behind Dotson, Washington, and Keandre Lambert-Smith. So, you know, we'll see how that shakes out.
Greg, I want to get into more individual players and positions, but let me go first the overall group. This was a team that started 0-5. I was even, you know, getting ready with our Ask Greg questions. I still have in my list some of the old questions that came from, you know, midseason. And it was like, oh, this team isn't going to win a game this year. They're awful. How come the leaders?
Penn State was going to go 0-100, I thought. I actually, to get four wins, I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, how, you know, that is a positive. This was a team that was on the deck. Remember, James Franklin was mailing it in. He lost the team. The team is showing no leadership. They'll probably lose every one of their games. I don't see any wins on their schedule. And lo and behold, they won four in a row. Doesn't that show us something?
Yeah, I mean, they did beat four terrible teams. But yeah, I mean, this was such a weird year. And, you know, a lot of people are not willing to give, I think it was, who was it? Was it Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated who wrote the column about, might have been Pete Dammel from Yahoo, I can't remember. But somebody had wrote the column about coaches who should get a mulligan for the past season. And look, they were 4-5, and they were a bad 4-5. And I'm not trying to excuse that, but it was a weird year. It was obviously an impacted season, and ultimately it just was what it was. Now I really do think that you're right, that getting four wins to close out the year was a positive, it was a good thing, but there are just so many question marks now in the new year, Jim. And we didn't even talk about the fact that Tariq Castro Fields is coming back. That helps, and you get Johnny Dixon, that helps, because that corner room needs to be better. And maybe they, I don't know what your thoughts are, but, and I'm going to kind of hijack the conversation here, but maybe they move at one of those corners to safety, and maybe that gives you some pass defense help that you needed in the last year and didn't get, you know, now that Lamont Wade and Jaquan Brisker are gone. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you that it was a positive thing that they found a way to win four games, but they still lost the first five. And that's not something you can just gloss over. And some of the problems, or maybe even a lot of the problems that led to those losses, are still present in the new year. So I think that's worth remembering as well. But you are right that you know, that run certainly gave them something to build on here in the new year.
All right, Greg, leave it to you. You took my glass half full segment and you hijacked it. Let's go back to some things truly positives. The running back room, where you lost so many players, that was the negative side of it. But yep, you had two true freshmen, Kayvon Lee especially, and Keziah Holmes did step up. That bodes well for the future, does it not?
Yeah, it does. And now let's not forget about the fact that you're getting John Lovett in from Baylor, the transfer. And, you know, I think he's a guy who certainly is going to make a difference for Penn State in 2021. You expect to get Noah Kane back healthy for a whole season. Obviously, we'll have to wait and, you know, confirm that a little bit later in the year. But considering the fact he's been out since, what, late October, the start of November, you know, I would think he'll be able to get healthy and be back in there for, you know, the start of the 2021 season. So, yeah, you know, it was certainly not a wanted thing, I guess you could say, that Noah Kane went down and Journey Brown went down, and that meant that Devin Ford, Keziah Holmes, and Kevon Lee, and more so those last two guys, had to really step up down the stretch. But, you know, and I hate to say this because it sounds terrible, but it doesn't hurt you either from a recruiting perspective, Jim, that you're able to show for, you know, future running back prospects that, hey, look, we brought in these two guys behind these three guys that we really, really liked, and we lost a guy to the transfer portal, Ricky Slade, of course. And we didn't want Journey Brown to get hurt. We didn't want Noah Kane to, or, you know, Journey Brown to do the medical retirement, Noah Kane to get hurt. But it's just a way to show you that even if you commit as two running backs to a loaded room, you still might be able to find a way to get on the field. So, yeah, a lot of positives for that position group. And let's be honest, Jaywan Sider's a guy who, you know, we talked earlier in the show about Tyler Bowen being someone who teams are really, you know, are really going after hard. And I think Jaywan Sider could be in that conversation eventually, too.
You mentioned tight end coaching. Let's talk about the tight ends. Again, a positive. You had, you know, a legacy here at tight end, Mike Gesicki, and then Pat Freiermuth, tremendous player. He goes down, and it's almost like they don't lose any stride at all when you have the youngsters, Bretton Strange and Theo Johnson, both step in and play.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I just – those guys, and I think it was Ben Jones from statecollege.com who first asked James Franklin about it and really hit the nail on the head, Jim. They are – tremendous blockers, very willing blockers. And, you know, that's not something that Penn State's always had over the last handful of seasons. But guess what? They have it now. And they've really kind of, you know, been impressive when they were able to get extra playing time with Pat Freiermuth, unfortunately, sidelined before he declared for the NFL draft. So, yeah, the future's very bright there. You know, I thought we'd see more of Zach Kuntz this year. That didn't end up being the case, but it didn't need to be because Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson were very, very impressive. And we talked earlier in the show about the fact that Penn State has two more four-stars coming to join the fold soon. You know, Tyler Warren didn't play a ton this year, but I think there's some reason for optimism with him. And this position group is in a really good place for years to come.
You mentioned that the tight ends were able to block, and that's a pleasant surprise. And it was significant that it was obvious that their blocking did make a difference on this team. You also saw two tight end sets. This leads me to, did Kirk Ciarrocca kind of figure things out in the second half of the year? Did he, you know, there were obvious issues those first five games, but all of a sudden you saw some adjustments. You saw Will Levis being used. As much as you may not like it, on 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, it worked with Will Levis at quarterback. He was playing two tight ends, and their blocking helped the running game. You know, is this a positive that you could say, even if that's not exactly how they're going to do it next year, we do have an offensive coordinator who can figure things out?
Yeah, I think the response to a lot of people are going to give you, Jim, is what took so long? Why did it take to that long in the season to figure those things out? And it was a weird year. So again, I'm not as ready to jump off the Kirk Ciarrocca boat as everybody else is. But at the same time, yeah, they're going to need to be able to make adjustments sooner in the new year. There's no question about that. And you know, I think the other thing too is that for Penn State to be its best self in 2021, it just needs better quarterback play. It needs better work from the offensive coordinator. And I think those two things go hand in hand.
And the last one, and again, this happened maybe a little bit late, but there did seem to be development at the offensive line position, and even losing some folks. You have Juice Scruggs stepping up. You had Caden Wallace stepping up. Is the development of the offensive line another positive, Greg?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, again, you saw some struggles there, but you saw some things move in the right direction. But here's my thing, Jim. Another year where we thought the offensive line was going to be a strength, and it didn't end up being one. So that has to change in a new year. In 2021, they have to be a dominant group.
Well, let's hope that we see that. That is it for this edition of our show. Please make sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.